Hello again, everyone. Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse Radio. My name is Michael Moret. Currently, we are in the book of Jonah. That's where we will begin today, and that's where we will end today. The entire book of Jonah, it's only four chapters. And we'll begin in just a minute, so get your Bible if you can and open it up to the book of Jonah. The Scripture Verse by Verse website is found at thebibleversebyverse.com. And you can study the Bible in its entirety from Genesis through Revelation using my audio Bible commentaries at thebibleversebyverse.com. Just click and listen and study the Word of God with me. Three complete series going through the Bible verse by verse at thebibleversebyverse.com. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your Word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. It says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, let's just stop right there for a second. Notice how God claims that his word is his word. This is the word of the Lord. God's word, the holy written scriptures, claim to be God's word, not just here, but in many places. Verse 2, here's God's word to Jonah. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. It was a great city, especially from the world's point of view. Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire, the world's superpower. And it was a great city, according to the world. But it was also a wicked city, according to God. And we learn from this what we learn elsewhere in Scripture, and that is that man judges by appearance, but God judges by the heart. Nineveh is a city that is in trouble. Their doomsday clock is clicking really quickly, and it's just about midnight. Verse 3, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah hated the people who lived in Nineveh. He could not stand them. They were so wicked. He hated the Assyrians as a whole, not just that city, because they were so cruel. And consequently, instead of going to Nineveh to preach the word of God, he went the exact opposite direction. Note something here. Right now, as rotten, as miserable as the people of Nineveh were, as rebellious as they were, Jonah is right now just as rebellious as the Assyrians. Verse 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was in danger of being broken. God hates rebellion. He hates it at any level. And so he sends a strong storm that is going to bring Jonah's rebellion to a screeching halt. Verse 5. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Jonah is sound asleep, while all the sailors on this ship were in a panic and praying to their various gods, their nothing gods, for help. Verse 6. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, and we perish not. In other words, Jonah, how can you sleep at a time like this? Get up and start praying to your God, whoever in the world he is. He says, how can you sleep? But why aren't you praying? Well, Jonah wasn't praying because God and him are not on speaking terms. Unconfessed sins removes our desire to pray and would make our prayers useless even if we tried. Verse 7. And they said, everyone to his fellow, come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Casting lots was sort of like drawing straws back in those days. It was a method for discerning God's will at times in Old Testament days. And God said, he spoke through this casting of lots, and God said, Jonah is the problem. Jonah's sin is the reason that every sailor's life is in danger right here. And we see from this that sin doesn't just affect the sinner. It affects everyone around them as well. Verse 8, then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation? And from where comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? Notice how they fire off five questions. The sailors fire off five questions without even giving the rebellious prophet a chance to answer any of them. They're all hyped up. Verse 9. And he said unto them, I am in Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who hath made the sea and the dry land. Well, maybe Jonah feared God, the God who made everything, the God of heaven, sometimes, but not lately. Lately, he loved himself more than he feared God, and that's why he sinned, and that's why his situation was miserable. If you love yourself more than you love God, you're headed for misery. You're headed for trouble. 10. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Jonah told them all about his disobedience. And they say, why? They can't believe that anyone could be so foolish. Why would anyone disobey a direct command from God? They had more sense than Jonah. And they didn't even know the one true God. Verse 11. Then said they unto him, what shall we do for thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea raged and was tempestuous. In other words, Jonah, you know God, so tell us what he wants us to do, so we can get out of this mess. How can we get right with him? How can we please him and stop his wrath and put an end to this storm? 12. And Jonah said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm for you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. You know, Jonah, he could have said, turn the ship around so I can go preach in Nineveh. I got to obey God. He could have said that. It's a little surprising that he didn't, isn't it? But instead of saying that, I got to get back on track with God, and he'll probably take this storm away. Instead, he says, kill me. What in the world? Kill me? Jonah would rather die than give the Assyrians a chance to repent. That's how much he hated them. So I guess you can add bitterness to Job's long list of sins. He certainly was bitter if he's willing to die instead of go to Nineveh to preach. Just kill me. 13. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring her to the land, but they could not, for the sea raged and was tempestuous against them. If God wanted to kill Jonah, they figured that was his business. But the sailors didn't want to do it. I mean, obviously, this man had a God who was big enough and strong enough to stir up this huge storm. So they didn't want to do anything else to offend him. Consequently, they tried to row to land instead, but they failed. 14. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. They were afraid to throw Jonah overboard, but they were afraid to not throw him overboard as well. They didn't know what to do. Consequently, they prayed for mercy and did what they didn't want to do, and they threw him out of the ship. Notice 16. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. They didn't know if they did the right thing or not, but they knew it couldn't hurt to humble themselves before this mighty God, so that's what they did. That's a pretty good lesson for us. When in doubt, humble yourself before God. You can never go wrong doing that. And then, notice 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. The belly of the huge fish will not be the most pleasant form of transportation for the rebellious prophet. But it's about all that this backslidden man deserved. And by the way, like it or not, he's headed for Nineveh. Chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Since he figures he's about to die, he decides it'd probably be a good time to stop running from God and instead pray to him. 2. And said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of Sheol, out of the belly of the grave. Cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. The sailors threw him overboard, but Jonah knew that God allowed it to happen in order to wake him up and get him to repent. If God cannot get our attention during good times, then he will get our attention during bad times. We can do it the easy way. We can do it the hard way. But God's not going to lose, just so you know. Verse 4. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will not look again toward thine holy temple. Notice how Jonah had hope after he repented and after he prayed. He got hope. Notice verse 4 again. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. It's going to get better. I'm in the midst of a lot of bad, but I've repented and I've confessed. And he knew that it was going to get better someday. Verse 5. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I think Jonah is describing what life is like inside the belly of a huge fish. Can you imagine that? Panic must have set in when he found himself engulfed in water and seaweed in the midst of this fish's belly. 6. I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with its bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple. He was as close to being dead without being dead as anyone could possibly be. But God rescued him. Verse 8. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. In other words, those who reject God and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, throw away their only hope for mercy. You throw that away, man, you have nothing. You have nothing. You have no hope. People don't go to hell because God refuses to show mercy. That's not why people go to hell. People go to hell because they reject the mercy that God offers through his Son, Jesus Christ. God is a merciful God, But you have to accept that mercy. First of all, you have to know that you need it, that you're a sinner, damned to hell, because you've sinned against a holy God. You need to know you need that mercy, but you also need to cry out to God through Jesus Christ by receiving him as Lord and Savior to appropriate that mercy. If you don't blame God. Don't say God's not merciful. You accept that mercy, and you'll see it. Verse 9, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Wonderful verse. You can tell that Jonah is dead serious about his repentance here. And that's good, because God is the only one who can save, and he only saves those who really want it. If you're not sincere, save your breath. 10. And the Lord spoke unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Like I said, this was not the most pleasant way to get to Nineveh, but it was about the only thing that this backslidden prophet deserved. So he gets transported in a fish, and when he gets to land, they don't put out the plank for him to walk on. The fish vomits him. Can you imagine what that must have been like? My Lord, God made the fish throw up along with everything else that came out of his stomach. Out came Jonah. Wow, Jonah was probably as white as a sheet too, rolling around in all that stomach acid. He's going to be a real sight when he shows up in Nineveh. Chapter 3. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Verse 2. Actually, I just read it, didn't I? Okay. Notice how God doesn't hold a grudge. Did you get that? God does not hold a grudge. God didn't even bring up Jonah's past sin of refusing to go to this place. He even talked about it as if it never happened. Why? Because Jonah repented, obviously. But instead of repeating his former command, I should say instead of talking about Jonah's sin of rebellion, he simply repeated his command to go and preach in Nineveh. Don't you just love God's attitude? I do. He doesn't hold a grudge. In essence, God's attitude was, let's forget the past, Jonah, okay? Let's just focus on getting it right this time. And that's how he is with us as well. And so we sin. And I'm not minimizing the seriousness of any sin. It's all very serious. And one sin is enough to send you to hell. Because God's standard for entrance into heaven is absolute perfection. So I'm not minimizing the seriousness of sin, but God wants us, excuse me, to confess it and get it right the next time. And if we confess it, he's not going to bring it up to you. let's just do it right this time. Verse 3. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and he said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Nineveh has 40 days before she is destroyed. I almost said she has 40 days to make up her mind. But God didn't say anything about that. He just said 40 days, and you're going to be destroyed. They have 40 days before it's all over. 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Maybe this king of Nineveh had heard about what God did to Sodom and Gomorrah. Anyway, he's convinced that God plays hardball. Word of God scared this city. Scared them. And the king. And as a result, they repented. The word of God should scare you. If you have not repented of your sins and received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I have no good news for you if you haven't done that. I have plenty of good news. God has plenty of good news for you if you repent and receive Christ. But until you do that, you're under judgment. You're under his wrath. And you better not die. You better try very hard to stay alive. The word of God should scare people who aren't living it. The devil hates God's word because it often scares people off the road to hell. In other words, the word of God works. Verse 9. It's what the king says. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? Notice the king says, who knows? Who knows? In other words, evidently the Ninevites had not been given any guarantees by God that they would be spared in this life if they repent. Jonah didn't say repent and live. He just said you're going to be destroyed in 40 days. So they had no guarantee that if they repented, they would be spared. But one thing they know for sure, if they don't repent, they're going to die. There is no question about that. 10. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. God hates to punish sinners. That's why he bent over backwards to give these people an opportunity to repent. That's also why he wants his preachers to preach his word clearly. Preach sin. Preach judgment. Preach wrath. Preach damnation. Preach the flames of hell. Preach the screams of hell. Preach the stench of hell. Preach the finality of hell. Preach it. Give it straight. Say about hell what Jesus said about hell. If you got to scare sinners into repenting, then scare sinners into repenting. Jesus wasn't opposed to doing that. See, the word of God is the only thing that can convince a sinner to repent. It's the only thing that can save a soul from damnation. God's word has power to wake people up before it's too late. It's up to preachers to give it straight. Chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Jonah is angry because Nineveh repented, and therefore he's pretty sure that they're not going to be punished. Oh, that ticked him off. Jonah didn't seem to mind when God showed him mercy while he was in the fish, but he sure doesn't want these Ninevites, who God cares about just as much as he cares about them, or cared about him, to receive any of that mercy. Jonah was out of line with this bad attitude of his. Verse 2, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. For I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. I knew you would do this. God, I knew it. I knew you would forgive them. I just knew it. That's why I didn't want to preach to them in the first place. Notice how Jonah did not care about what God wanted. He wasn't happy that God was pleased over their repentance. He wasn't happy that they were honoring God when they repented. Jonah wanted revenge. He was bitter. Verse 3, therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Jonah is depressed, and he wants to die. Oh, he's back in his sinful ways now again with his attitude, and sin brings depression. because it's so unnatural to human beings. So Jonah is depressed because he's self-centered. He didn't care about anybody except himself. He doesn't care about God. He didn't care about the Ninevites, but worse, he didn't care about God. So he's depressed. Verse 4, then said the Lord, dost thou do well to be angry? God says, do you think you have the right to be angry, Jonah? Verse 5, so Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city and there made a booth for himself and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. Jonah was so angry that he didn't even answer God's question. God said, you have a right to be angry, Jonah? Is that what you really think? And he walked right away from God. He snubbed God. 6, he's just adding to this sin total, isn't he? Verse 6, and the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd. There is God being kind to someone who doesn't deserve it again. And once again, it is Jonah. And of course, self-centered Jonah doesn't complain about this kindness because it's directed at him. Verse 7. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass, when the sun did rise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. Verse 9, and God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. Jonah is angry with God. Why is he angry? Because he is uncomfortable. Jonah only respected God and only obeyed God when he could do it in his own comfort zone. See, you get him out of his comfort zone and he refused to obey and respect the Lord God. That guy was one of the biggest fair weather fans that Almighty God has ever had. 10. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night, and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, in which are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? Jonah cared more about that plant that gave him some shade than he did about the souls of the people. What a twisted, warped man. He cared more about his own comfort, that little bit of shade that he got, than the lost souls who were teetering on the edge of hell in Nineveh. And I'm afraid that many Christians today are exactly the same way. They invest more of their time and money in their own comfort than in doing what God wants them to do. Many Christians care very little, if anything, about lost souls who are going to hell. As long as they are comfortable in their homes and they've got food to eat and nice clothes to wear, they're happy, they're content. Many professing Christians are a lot more like Jonah than they care to admit. For more of God's Word, go to thebibleversebyverse.com. Study the entire Bible from Genesis through Revelation using my audio Bible messages at thebibleversebyverse.com. And please remember, I'm not underwritten by a large church or denomination, but I rely completely on the prayers and the financial support of you listeners who love God's Word. So if you care to be a part of this ministry and help me to get the Word of God out to more people, you can. Please pray for this ministry and also click the donate button at the top of the front page. Take a break from studying. When you take a break from studying, if you take a break from studying, click the donate button at the top of the front page at thebibleversebyverse.com and just say a prayer. Ask God what, if anything, He would have you give for you to become a partner in this ministry of getting out the pure Word of God to as many people as we possibly can, which makes God happy, just like it made God happy when Jonah finally preached in Nineveh. Until next time, Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.